Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We are brought to you by OSCA Wellness, the coolest new product in pain relief by Tough Man Triathlon Series. RunCatalina.com, Catalina Eco Marathon coming up on Saturday, November 19th. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation, we've raised over $75 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out any of our interviews on iTunes or on Babbittville.com. We've had over 1.1 million downloads of our shows, and thanks to everybody for that. Our next guest, one of our favorite people in the sport, his name is Luke McKenzie. He's an 8-time Ironman champion. He's in Kona doing double secret training, getting ready for another shot at the big prize. Luke, how you doing?
I'm awesome. Thanks, Bob. Yeah, it's great to be on the show again.
Always, always a pleasure. And during that intro, I mentioned Challenged Athletes Foundation. You have been out there at San Diego Triathlon Challenge, out at the event and then out at the clinics the day before. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I absolutely love the best day in tri. It has to be, like you say, one of the greatest experiences you can have as an athlete, watching these, you know, these young athletes with disabilities just have that pure joy on their face when they get to compete in their first triathlon or they get their first limb. And, you know, I've been very blessed to be part of it over the last couple of years, and I thank you for the invite.
Oh, man, we love having you and Beth there. It's been wonderful. And this week, did you ride up to the volcano, or was that last week?
Yeah, no, one of the things I've always wanted to do out here in Kona, I guess, is climb the huge volcano here, Mauna Kea.
Yeah.
And so last Sunday I went out to Waikoloa and attempted to ride to the summit. But unfortunately, I didn't know that the last couple of miles was gravel road.
Yep.
And I was on my T-bike, obviously.
Yep.
So I'm on a mission next time I come back to make it all the way to the top, because I'm going to have to come prepared with a mountain bike for the top section, I think.
How cold was it up there?
It was chilly. I mean, once I got through the cloud layer at about 7,000 or 8,000 feet, once you got up above that, the sun came out and it was a bit warmer. But it actually gets quite cold up there, and I would say it would have been in the 50s up there, considering I started, you know, close to the 90s down at the beach. It was a pretty dramatic temperature change.
So this year, you've been training up in Bend. It seems like the focus has been for Kona. And how are you feeling about the prep? And after finishing second in 2013, obviously there's one step higher. What are your feelings going into this year's race?
Yeah, I like to go up to Bend and prepare for Kona. And, you know, I didn't get to do that last year with some commitments back home in Australia, but it's really my happy place to get the training done leading into Kona. You know, that 10 weeks to about 6 weeks out is a pretty crucial time in your Ironman preparation. I really enjoy the training up there in Oregon. It's no distractions, great training, great people, great town. And so I think the training that I got done up there is definitely back on that level of the last couple of years. You know, I'm really happy with how I've prepared, and the body's feeling really good. And now I'm out here in Kona, just getting the last few weeks put away before the taper begins. And I think, you know, it's pretty evident from the sessions I've been able to do out here that the form's really good. So I'm really looking forward to racing.
So after taking second, and actually after leading for a big chunk of the run, how important is it for you to get back there? Because you've been ninth there, you've been second, and you've like you said, you've won 8 titles. But there's something about Kona, especially for a lot of the Aussies we talked to over the years, Craig Alexander, Chris McCormick, that was something growing up that everybody talked about. This was the big one. And winning there is, you can win other races, but winning this one changes everything.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the race that everyone wants to have on the resume, and to obviously come second here 3 years ago now is something that, you know, always hold, you know, dear to my racing career. I've been proud of that moment, but I know from the performances I've been able to put on the scoreboard at other events, you know, that I do have the potential to come here and compete for that number one spot. And, you know, I draw a lot of energy from, you know, I'm in Western Australia last year, was arguably probably my best performance of my career. It wasn't here at this race, but to be able to, you know, be able to draw on that and know that I have got that potential there is something that I can really arm myself going into the race this year.
Well, and I've seen, there's been other races. People think of you as a swim bike specialist, but you've run 245 off the bike, right, to win Cairns. So when you look at this particular race, you know you can run well. How fast do you feel you have to run to win this thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that having that strong swim bike combination here in Kona is something that really sets you up for the win.
Yep.
It's pretty rare that someone will win outside that top five off the bike.
That's really true.
And so
yeah.
Knowing that I've got that ability to be up there off the bike and having come off in that position several times over my career, I think that that's what I really draw on. And knowing that I do have not the fastest run in the field, but I definitely have a strong run. And that's what it takes out here in Kona. It's about not breaking down too much. It's about gutting through those tough times. And I think, you know, this is my 11th time out here. I've got a lot of experience to draw on from those years out here. Some of them are good experiences and some are not so good. But I think all of that adds up to really arm yourself with, you know, knowing what you're up against and what you're fighting for.
So when you look at, when I look back at your career and some of the early days when you were doing the French Iron Tour, and then I look at the Island House Triathlon, which the Iron Tour was multiple events over, you know, multiple days. And when you look at Island House, which you're not participating in, you're sort of the overall race director of. Talk about the genesis of Island House and the mixture of the athletes, because you've got ITU athletes, you got Ironman champions. I love that mix of athletes and mix of distances.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, it's just something that, you know, I've been very passionate about for a long time, and I've been lucky enough to be given the opportunity to produce a race like this. And, you know, it was 2 years ago now, I was over in Europe watching the Tour de France with a longtime sponsor, Mark Holowesko, and I said to him, you know, this cycling, I guess, structure would be a cool way to showcase our sport of triathlon by, you know, working on general classification time, by, you know, racing a little bit more tactically. And I think the other thing was that wanting to bring athletes from all different areas of the sport together at this one particular race was quite unique. So, you know, to have, you know, the ITU world champion versus the Ironman world champion versus a non-drafting specialist racer, I think, you know, we rarely get to see that. And so over this format, and especially this year with the non-drafting nature of it, I think it's a really exciting event that, you know, obviously Ironman has its place, ITU has its place, but this is a unique event where we get to bring all those athletes together and in a beautiful location like the Bahamas. It's just, I'm just really excited that I can, you know, have a hand in it.
What's cool, too, is you've got the Gwen Jorgensen won the Olympic gold medal. And then you've got Holly Lawrence, who won Ironman 70.3 Worlds, and Richard Murray and Sebastian Kienle, and just a mix of athletes. And when you talk to the athletes afterwards, what a lot of them, I bet, have not really met each other before, right? A lot of times your ITU folks have not spent much time with the 70.3 or the Ironman guys. What have you gotten from the athletes in terms of their response just to getting everybody together?
I think that that's what everyone really enjoyed about the event last year. And I knew we had 10 men and 10 women last year, but we were able to expand this year and have 20 men and 20 women. So, you know, that's just been, we're able to bring more athletes to the table this year, and that's more athletes that have never really gotten to race each other. So we've got more ITU athletes racing against Ironman-specific athletes. So, you know, I think that that's what makes it cool as well, is the athletes really enjoy the vibe of the event, because they're not going to a race that's the same as all the events that they've been doing all year. This one's unique and different. They're around different people, and I think that that's what, you know, they really enjoyed about it last year.
Well, they also enjoy $500,000 in cash. Is that what the prize purse is this year?
exciting to bring, you know, the second largest prize pool in the sport of triathlon to the table as well. You know, that's going to draw the best athletes in the world. And, you know, I feel as a professional, I think we, you know, we want to showcase our sport, but we also want to, we want to raise the profile of our sport, and we want athletes to be competing for good money and making a good living. And by offering $500,000 as our prize pool, we're able to do all those things.
So this is multiple events over 3 days, and but everything adds up to approximately a half Ironman distance?
Yeah, so basically we're doing some time trials on Friday, which will allow the athletes to really showcase their own individual strengths.
Right.
So from when you start, you're on the clock. So we do a 750-meter swim. We break for half an hour. We do a 20-kilometer bike time trial. We have another break, and then we do a pure running 5K race. You're constantly accumulating your time over this over these events.
Uh-huh.
And then on day two, we do an enduro. And so this is a swim, run, bike, run, swim, run. And again, you're on the clock, and it's a non-drafting event. And the top 10 athletes after those first 2 days will then get to go to Hyben Key, which is a beautiful private island in the Bahamas, to race for that top 10 prize money on day three, which is a sprint race. And the leader will go off on go, and then everyone will be released at their deficit to the leader on the general classification. So whether you're a minute, 2 minutes behind, you've got to chase down that leader to win the big overall prize.
Love it. And what is first overall prize?
$60,000.
Oh, my God. And for folks out there, islandhousetriathlon.com. But this is also a televised event, correct?
Yeah, so we've last year we did a one-hour TV package that was released around America. And again, this year we're going to be doing the same thing. Obviously, we're going to have Bob Babbitt out there doing his thing.
We are doing Breakfast with Bob from there. We're very excited about that.
What's that?
We're very excited about that, to do a breakfast show from out there.
Yeah, let's do breakfast in the Bahamas with Bob.
I love that.
Yeah.
So, doing the TV thing, and how much of this? How much time is your, you've been in the sport forever. Is this the thing you want to do next? Do you want to be a race director?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I've been passionate about for a long time, and to be given this opportunity, obviously I'm still racing, but it's something that as I wind down my career and I feel like I've still got a lot to give in my career, I feel like this is where I want to go. I want to keep elevating the sport. I want to keep doing different things. And, you know, we can progress from this one event and hopefully build on it and, you know, have a multitude of races. And I think that it's a new, exciting format that can really... You know, athletes can, you know, they can focus on this kind of racing and be a stage racing triathlete. I think that that's something that, you know, there's a niche for it. I think that you've got the ITU athletes, you've got the Ironman athletes. Why not have these purely focused endurance athletes that can race over multiple days backing it up? I think it would be great for the sport.
So as a professional for all these years, you became a dad a few years ago. How has that changed things for you? Is it make it, because this is a very selfish sport, right? You're out there riding, running, swimming all day long. How much has becoming a father changed you as an athlete, and how much has being a dad helped you maintain your life as an athlete?
I love being a dad. It's been the best thing that has ever happened to me, I think. Right at the right time in my life, Wynn came along, and you know, to be able to do this sport with Beth and Wynn by my side, I think that's what's given me the longevity in the last couple of years to continue on. You know, I've been doing the sport since 1994, so I've had over a 20-year career in this sport, and you know, there's highs and lows that come with that, but I think definitely in the last couple of years, as you know, I've accumulated some wins around the world, and I've been able to travel the world and experience it. But to be able to do it with my family, with Beth and with Wynn, has been the best years of my triathlon career. So I'm very blessed for that.
What I love is, again, looking back, and as a junior, you're training with, you know, same little junior camp, what, Marina Carfrey, Annabelle Luxford, Emma Snowsill, all of them going on to, you know, having great careers, all of you guys having great careers. At the same time, when you came to the States for the first time, you're, you know, living with Craig Alexander, three-time Ironman World Champion now. But back then, you guys are sleeping on air mattresses in a little apartment by the train tracks. Looking back at the journey, having those early day experiences where you're basically grabbing furniture off the side of the road and trying to figure out where the next, you know, basically you need a paycheck to pay your rent. Did that make it so you appreciate everything more now?
Absolutely. I think those, I mean, prior to the years living in the States, it was over in Europe with the Australian junior team. You know, we were just racing around Europe and getting those, you know, basically getting our butts kicked by the best athletes in the world in Europe. And then, you know, going on to the non-drafting circuit in the States, like you said, it was just a matter of doing your time and again, just getting your butt kicked by Simon Lessing, Craig Alexander, Chris McCormack, all these, you know, these guys that you'd always looked up to. And, you know, it's really cool now to look back and see where, you know, people like Rini and Annabelle and, you know, Joe Gambles, all these guys that I raced with in juniors and, you know, over 15 years ago now, it's pretty crazy, but we've all gone on to, you know, endure the sport, you know, through our highs and lows and achieve good things. So, I mean, I think that's probably also the best part of the journey of triathlon too, is just looking back at where you've come from and where you are now.
So you mentioned that Ironman Western Australia was probably your best race ever. What was it about that race besides, you know, besides the podium spot, besides winning? What was it that made it so special?
Yeah, I think for me it was the probably most about redemption. I think I really had good form coming into Kona last year, wanting to have a good result. And having my first ever DNF here was something that really hurt me. I'd never not finished Kona, and it really left a mark on me, you know. So I went away from Kona, and after the initial disappointment, I'd refocused it into wanting to produce a really good race at the end of the season to be proud of. And so I targeted Ironman Western Australia, and I also targeted the 8-hour barrier. I really knew that I had the form to be able to do that, and I'd written down the splits that I wanted to try and do prior to the race to break 8 hours. And to be able to follow through on that and really have one of those races that you probably never know if you're going to have another one of them. You always hope for that perfect race, but you just, you know, you're always chasing it. I think that if I was to say what was my best race in my career, I would probably say it was Ironman Western Australia, because just everything just felt good. It felt effortless, and it just, it all just happened, you know, how you plan it out perfectly in your head.
You know, it's interesting. I remember years ago, Scott Tinley won a race, and then he immediately went and asked somebody for a pad of paper and wrote down everything he did. You know, everything he ate, when he ate it, you know, just like, I got to remember this. I got the formula now. And the next race, he DNF'd using that formula. It's like, it's such a crapshoot. He's like, okay, everything went perfect. I'm going to do exactly what I did for Western Australia. And the next time out, it means nothing, right? You just never know.
Yeah, no, I went to Ironman Cairns at the middle of this year, and, you know, like you said, you try and follow that formula, and, you know, that formula led to two flat tires and, and a, you know, very sore hip by the end of the bike leg. You know, you just don't know how your body's going to respond, how your equipment's going to respond, all these things that just make up this sport that, you know, sometimes it's frustrating. Maybe it's a little bit like golf. You do one thing great one time, and then the next time you just can't get it right. So I think that's what I've learned over the years, though, is you're going to have those good races, you're going to have those bad races, but you've got to know that you've always got that potential in you.
So when you guys go over to Kona a few weeks early, do you sometimes get concerned of too much heat, that maybe this is dehydrating me a little bit? Because it seems like that's a long time to be training in that heat and trying to recover and going from air conditioning to non-air conditioning. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, I've been coming out here for 3 weeks prior to the race most years, and I really like to get out here and experience the island to get used to that heat. I think one thing I definitely learned this year was getting out here in those first few days is it does take some getting used to. And I honestly think if you do get here race week, I think it's going to be tough on race day.
Yes.
If you've got that experience here, you know, knowing what your expectations are with your body too, after adapting and adjusting those expectations, I think that's something that's really beneficial. And, you know, I just like to get out here and do some hard training on the course in a relaxed location, and it really sets my mindset towards the event. And then that works for me. That might not work for other people, but that's just what I enjoy doing, and that's how I've always done it.
So the other balance you do is both you and Beth are professional triathletes. When you go to a race and you're both racing, how hard is that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good and bad thing, you know. I mean, it's something that you really want to be there to support each other.
Right.
And obviously, racing together, you're not fully there to support each other in that regard. But there's also that camaraderie together of seeing each other out at various points on the course and feeding off each other, which is a great thing. So, I mean, we enjoy it. And when we have our family and friends around us to help with win while we do it, I think that's, you know, that's the ultimate. We're able to do what we both love together and have our family to support us with it.
Love it. Hey, Luke, as always, thanks for taking time. Very excited about not only Kona, but obviously Island House. This is going to be really cool. IslandHouseTriathlon.com. Race director Luke McKenzie. But before that, he's going to go to Kona on October 8th and hopefully move up a spot from that second place from 2013. Hey, Luke, as always, thanks so much for taking time.
Thanks, Bob. I appreciate it. Love your work.
All right. Luke McKenzie. And Luke, give our best to Beth and to win.
Thank you, Bob.
All right. Again, we are brought to you by OSCA Wellness. Tough Man Triathlon Series, RunCatalina.com, coming up on Saturday, November 19th. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation, we've raised over $75 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on iTunes or on Babbittville.com. And as always, endurance lives here.